privileged to be here this morning to share with you God's wonderful word. Greetings from your sister congregation in Madison, South Dakota. We've just grown to just appreciate your prayer support and your love and your encouragement to us. We are in a mission field down in Madison, so we do covet your prayers, and thank you for the opportunity to come and share God's word with you today. What a beautiful day, isn't it? I feel like saying Happy Easter to all of you. It's so nice out, and just after that 10 below weather. But God is good, isn't he? And he's good all the time. And you know what is so exciting is that God has a plan here for your congregation. And he has declared that in Jeremiah 17:9, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." And I know soon he will just keep directing you. And as you pray, as you seek him, he will open the doors of hearts of people. And I can tell you, if God wanted to, he could put a rock in this pulpit and proclaim his glory through it. But he's chosen to use man to proclaim his glory. So as you pray and seek God's will, I know that he will provide the man and his family that he wants here. The great promise is, he said to Peter, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." What a awesome and wonderful Savior who is the Lord and head of the church. And we're so privileged, are we not, to be a part of the great kingdom work here on earth. Let's invite Jesus to come and minister to us and to speak to our hearts. It's his word, his story. It's all about him. Oh, precious Lord Jesus, it's a privilege to be still this morning. Be still and know that I am God. And Jesus, we come, maybe some of us weary, worn out from struggles in life. Oh, I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Lord, I'm so glad that we can be here together in your presence, and we can worship you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. "And if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself." And Lord, we lift you up and exalt in your grace and mercy. Be blessed now, Lord, to receive these words and bless these meditations. For I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Our message this morning comes from the book of Matthew chapter 12. If you have your Bibles, would you turn there this morning? Matthew 12, beginning with verse 28. Reading Matthew 12. Excuse me, Matthew 11. You know what? I got to put my glasses on here. Got to use my designer glasses here with duct tape on the sides. Matthew 11, there we go. You know, I can spot a deer at 300-400 yards, but to read these little words, it's a challenge. But reading from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, and reading in Jesus' name. "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." These wonderful verses in Scripture are just filled with a great invitation. And I'll never forget the invitation that I received as a young man. But before I share how Christ came into my life, I was privileged to be raised up in a little Lutheran congregation south of Tioga, North Dakota, down along the river bottom. But what was so special and wonderful about that little congregation, there was a group of ladies that got together weekly and prayed. And they prayed over our children of our congregation. I like to call them kind of the hounds from heaven. They covered us in prayer. And I give them praise and thanks for being a pastor here today. So I'd encourage you to pray and to seek the Lord in prayer. As I grew up, I was a rascal, a black sheep in the congregation. And, you know, I'd been to confirmation, had wonderful teachers. I was privileged as a child to be under the first president of our AFLC, Reverend John Strand. I can still hear him preaching. I had as a confirmation teacher, Reverend Bob Lee, others too that had come and ministered. I was so privileged, but yet as a young person, Christ was not real to me. I went through all of the things that you can do in church, but had never really come to faith, never come to a real assurance of salvation. I had it in my head, but where does it have to be, folks? In your heart, the condition of your heart. And that's why Christ gives this great invitation to come. It was on a night back in September 29th of 1973 as a troubled young man. Back then I had long hair and I looked like a hippie. People loved me, though, when I walked into this church. And let me just tell you what was amazing. I had longed for peace. I'd longed to have a purpose in life. And I happened to just, by the grace of God, pick up a newspaper that said Youth for Christ Rally tonight. It was a Sunday evening. And I said, you know, that's a real purpose, isn't it? Youth for Christ. What am I for? And it just hit me. I got to go find this out. And I drove up to Williston, about 36 miles from our ranch. And I drove all over this town of about 10, 12,000 looking for this little church. I forgot to bring the address. And I thought, well, I can't find this place. And what we had outside of Williston was a bar, and it was called a State Line Club. It was on the Montana-North Dakota border, and if you were 18, you could go out there, and it was Sunday night, so I said, well, I might as well go out of town and just go get drunk and fellowship out there with those people. And I got in my car and was driving, and I pulled up to a stop sign. I looked off to my right, so I was leaving Williston. There was this little church. It had a sign across that Youth for Christ Rally tonight. And I am so thankful that God, by His grace, enabled me to make a right turn. Who knows what would have been down the road on a left turn. But I made a right turn into this little church, this little Baptist church, and Pastor J.R. Garland came up to me and welcomed me into their Youth for Christ rally. And as I was there, I met some young people who loved Jesus, and this was back in 1973. And as I sat in that congregation and listened to the testimonies of the youth, and then Pastor Garland preached on the great invitation to come to Christ, and I was a candidate that night to come forward and to believe in Jesus. And I've been blessed ever since. Every day has been a blessing. Amen. What a blessing to know Christ, to have that assurance of salvation. You can know where you're going to spend eternity. You can know Him. And you can have a living and relationship with Him. And I would all to those who prayed for my soul, who taught me the Word. And I trust that you have that personal relationship here this morning, too, that you know the Savior. because he has an invitation for you to come. Now, he invites you to come just as you are. He invites you to come in your sinfulness. He invites you to come because he is the one that can make the difference. And he is the one that can clean us up on the inside. You see, God works from the inside out, and we like to kind of work from the outside in, don't we? And how many times have we said to people, how are you feeling? Oh, just fine. And really, the question is, what's the condition of your heart? And the great King David penned in Psalms 51:5, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And so God begins to change us from the inside out when we come to him, and it's a matter of faith. And I'm so grateful for my Lutheran teaching. I cannot by my own reason or strength come to him or even believe in him. But Christ has called me through the gospel to the message of salvation. And the great call of the gospel message, as you hear it, Jesus died for your sins in a personal way. He died on the cross, and then he was raised up again, and he's seated at the right hand of God. And we know that he is coming again. And that's why he invites us to come to him. What makes you weary? There's many kinds of weariness that come over us. We can have physical weariness as we worry about things, as we wear down mentally. So I believe in coming to Christ, we need to strengthen our minds. And what greater place than in the Word of God in Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. And so as we bring God's Word into our minds, it strengthens our hearts so we can think properly. Colossians 3:2-3 says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. So in this invitation to come, we need to think and have God's perspective. What a privilege, is it not, to be in a congregation that believes that this is the Word of God from Genesis to Revelations, the inspired, inerrant Word of God. And you will be blessed if you will obey it and take it into your heart and meditate on it. What an invitation. He says, come to me. Come to me who? All. God's will is for all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That is his will for all to know and to experience peace and to experience salvation in Christ. Jesus made this great statement, John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come unto the Father by me. There's only one way. And that way is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and knowing him and loving him. So he welcomes the weary to come, the sinful to come, the brokenhearted to come. God can work from the inside out and do marvelous and wonderful things. Without Christ in your life, there's a good illustration of what life is like. In Isaiah 57:20, but the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet, and its waters toss up refuse and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. There's no peace outside of Christ. He's the peace that passes all understanding. His peace confirms his will as you seek the Lord Jesus. So he says, come and come to me. And so when we come to him, we can fall down at his feet and experience his love and his mercy. You see, we are to demonstrate the love of Christ. Do you folks love each other here? I hope so. It's not an option, you know. Have you found that out? It's a little hard to love one another sometimes. But if you will love each other, in Christ. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples. Now, what do you mean, Pastor, when you say love one another? In Philippians chapter 2, intent on one purpose, he says, and this is for the congregation, it's for all of us, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Not always looking out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And then he says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. If we will apply that principle to love each other, nothing can stop the church of God. We won't implode, we will explode. And so the mark of a growing church is a church where people, first of all, love Jesus, and they love each other, and they demonstrate that love, and they serve one another, and they help one another, and they minister to one another. Isn't that exciting? You should be saying this morning, who can I minister to? Because God has called all of you into ministry if you're a believer in Christ. You are the called out ones. And he has called us a holy priesthood, a people for God's own choosing. And so we all have an opportunity to be ministers of Christ, to minister to one another, and to help and build up one another. I love this text because we come to Christ, and then we have the affirmation here that it's not in our strength or in our power. He says to come, and what an opportunity here to lay upon him our weariness. And if we're heavy laden, we can place upon him our burdens. God is able to carry them as we give them to him. And he gives us this gospel affirmation, I will. Jesus said, I will give you rest. I'll give you rest. Boy, this church thing sounds pretty easy, doesn't it? This living for Christ. This is what it says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why do we make it so difficult? I believe it's because we inject our agenda, we inject our flesh into it. And that is why we die daily. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ, it is no longer I live, but Christ liveth in me. And I die daily to my selfish will and agenda and the things that I want, and I live for him and I follow him. To follow Christ, then, is also to take my yoke upon you. And I'm sure you're pretty familiar with what a yoke is. Or you yoke up a pair of oxen. There's a heavy device placed around them to hold them in check. And they're yoked together. And they work together as a team and they pull together. Normally, when they do that, they take an experienced oxen and they hook it up and put in a young one so that he can learn. Isn't that interesting? When we're yoked to Christ, he says, learn from me. Learn from me. I hope you're always a candidate to learn, to be teachable. When I was in the Navigators in college, we had this acronym, FAT. I hope you want to be a fat Christian. Faithful, available, and teachable. Faithful, available, and teachable. And we can learn from Christ as our example. He had to train and teach the disciples how to be gentle and humble of heart. You remember the story of the disciples there. I think it was right before the Passover. Can you imagine this? They were talking about who was greatest as a disciple. And Jesus brought the example of a little child up and said, unless you become like a child, childlike in faith, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. And of course, also the mother that brought, I believe it was James and John, what they called the sons of thunder, and she wanted them to sit at his right hand. And you know, a mother's expectations are always so great and glorious. I love this, though. She says, Jesus, can they be at your right hand? Well, then Jesus said, well, that's for my Father to decide. But she had great aspirations, and don't ever lose that. Oh, the potential in your congregation, the children that you have, and each one of you have gifts from God. Give them to him and allow him to glorify himself in and through you. He says, come to me, but you need to be teachable, and that you're willing to learn from him and then to rest in him. Matthew 6, 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. What are the things you're worrying about? You can trust God. You can put your trust in the Lord. Where we're going as a nation, financially and spiritually, it is so sad today. But our trust is in the Lord. Our trust cannot be in the things seen, but the things unseen. Because the things seen are just temporal, but the things unseen are eternal. And if we continue on the track we're on as a nation, as a country, we'll be bankrupt before long. Spiritually and morally, I believe we are bankrupt. But as we come to the Lord and just pray that he'd be merciful, that God would bring a great awakening to the hearts and minds of people. Our trust is in the Lord and his kingdom's work. He's head of the church. He's the Lord. And he says, I will give you rest. It's like being in the eye of a hurricane. All this is whirling around us, but we can rest there today in the Lord. We can rest because of his faithfulness, because of his grace and the abundance of his mercy. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When we rely on the Lord, strength, nothing is impossible. As we think about the rest that we have in Christ, and the grace and the mercy, it overflows then into our lives. It becomes evident to the world that we have something very special. In Romans chapter 8, you are called a conqueror, and even more than a conqueror. He's placed you by his grace and mercy in a relationship of victory, and our victory is in Christ. Do you believe this? And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Do you believe this? That he can even use cancer, that he can even use illness for his glory? I do. I believe he can use all of our circumstances that we're facing. And the good news is no matter how deep or dark the pit, God's love is deeper still. There's hope and forgiveness in Christ Jesus. We are more than conquerors because of our victory in Jesus. He did it all. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Who's against us? We have Christ on our side. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? It's the promise of our Lord. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies.
Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who's at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. When I was growing up in high school, I had two older brothers. I was raised out in the oil fields of North Dakota in the Bakken. Oh, what a rough area. And there was always trouble in our school. But you know, praise God, when you got two older brothers, that really helps. You say to the, if you lay a hand on me, my brother will beat you up. And I had big older brothers. They were wrestlers and they were tough. It was a privilege to be a little seventh grader and have two older brothers. You are privileged to be a child of God. You are privileged to know that He is with you. And if God is with you, nothing can defeat you, because He stands before you, around you, underneath you. And He is there to protect us. He intercedes for us on our behalf as a believer in Christ. Can I hear an amen? Amen. He is there. If we allow Him, if we allow Him, if we welcome Him in to the great invitation. Because He says, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Him, by His grace and by His mercy, we are kept for His glory. And everything that happens in this church and in your life, to God be the glory. He is the one that's working. And it's by His doing we're in Christ Jesus. It's by His grace that we can live in the victory of Christ our Lord. We are more than conquerors in Christ who loved us. Come to me and delight yourself in me. That's the Christian walk. That's the experience we have each and every day. To wake up and know that, Lord, I just commit this to You. Your will be done. What a joy to walk in Christ, to walk in His victory, and to live for Him. Come to me. All who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He's a wonderful teacher. He loves to be with you. He wants to be at your side daily, hourly, moment by moment. What a joy it is to walk with the Lord. Consider it a privilege, dear brothers and sisters. Rejoice in Him. And know that nothing is too difficult for God. And allow Him to work daily in your life. Praise Him. To sum up, really, what have we been created for? Really, one purpose. To worship the Lord God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. We've been created to worship Him. And how do we worship Him? Romans 12, 1 and 4 says, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Come to Him. give him your all and serve the Lord with gladness and joy. Let's pray. Oh, Father, it's so good to be here in divine presence. And Lord Jesus, it's all about you. You're the Lord and Savior. You've done it all for us. Thank you, God, that it's a free gift, the invitation to come, to believe. And God, to those of us who become weary in our walk, we just come in repentance. Oh, Lord, when we try to do it in our strength, when we're not willing to fall at your feet and rest there, forgive us. And Lord, we're thankful. We're thankful to you. Thank you for your grace. Grant us peace. Grant us, Lord, just patience as we wait upon you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.